Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY Listener Supported Community Public Radio in the Lehigh Valley. I'm John Pierce along with Ray Schwab, my co-host. Ray, where did that music come from?
Actually, our guests brought that in tonight. Could you tell us a word about what we just heard?
Yeah, it's James. I brought it from Rwanda.
From Rwanda. Ooh, yeah. Our subject is going to be early childhood education in Rwanda, believe it or not. And it has a connection to the Lehigh Valley. That's the most interesting part to me. That music, Ray, makes me think of our programs here on WDIY World Rhythms, Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
Yes.
And also World Bop, Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m.
Some very interesting shows on WDIY.
Two of Bill D'Otremont Smith's favorite programs. But, of course, his very favorite is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Of course.
Well, now, we have as our guests today Cynthia Grieshaber, Janet Brown. They are both from the United States. And James Andrew Iyamuyeme. I got it almost right.
Iyamuyeme. Okay.
And he is from Rwanda. Cynthia is the co-founder and president of Teach Rwanda. That is our subject tonight, Ray. It's Teach Rwanda. Cindy first became involved with Rwanda in 2005 when she and her husband, Ken, joined a mission trip to Rwanda with their church. The result of that trip was a six-year association with a home for children in Muhanga. Cindy twice served as president of the board of Urukundu Foundation and as consultant and advisor to the founder and director, traveling to Rwanda three more times. In parallel, she completed a Bachelor of Science in Multidisciplinary Studies, Business Education Psychology, and a Master of Arts in Professional Counseling from Liberty University in Virginia. She also has an AAS. And Cynthia, what is AAS?
Associate of Applied Science.
That's in early childhood degree. Education, that's 2 years,
right.
And served as lead teacher and assistant director for Circle of Friends School at Wesley Church in Bethlehem. She currently works as an alcohol and other drug and mental health counselor. Cindy has three adult children, David, with wife Melissa, Philip, and Jillian, and two grandchildren. All right, so we shall call Cynthia Grandma.
That's right.
Is that what they call
that
you?
That works.
All right.
That works.
And Janet Brown is another of our guests. She has a master in education, more than 40 years international experience as a teacher of diverse young children and teacher educator. She's a co-founder and secretary of Teach Rwanda. Jan is a graduate of the Penn State University in elementary and kindergarten education, holds a master of education from the University of Maryland. Jan has served as director of publications for the National Association for the Education of Young Children, managing editor for Crayola, and as editor of Dimensions of Early Childhood, published by the Southern Early Childhood Association. Jan has worked as a consultant with Art as a Way of Learning at Northampton Community College, and since her retirement has been a regular volunteer at Head Start in the Lehigh Valley. Jan, a very full life.
And I would have it no other way.
And how long have you been retired?
About 4 years.
All right. Happy retirement to you.
Thank you.
She has traveled extensively and began learning about the opportunities for service in Rwanda firsthand in 2010. Jan has two adult children, Erica and Matthew, three adult stepchildren, Ramona, William, and Melissa, as well as four step-grandchildren. Step-grandma.
Yes.
to distinguish you from Cynthia.
That's right.
All right.
But we don't use that word.
All right. And then we have our third guest, guest in this country too, from Rwanda, James Andrew Iyamuyeme, energetically and efficiently collaborates with Teach Rwanda board members to oversee the organization's operations in Rwanda and promote its mission and vision. He holds an advanced diploma in education from Kigali Institute of Education, has completed the requirements for a bachelor's degree in management from the Catholic Institute of Kabgayi, and is an experienced teacher. He's been working with Jan and Cindy in various capacities for early childhood education in Rwanda during the past 2 years. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
And let's, Ray, just sketch in a little bit about what we know about the country of Rwanda. James, you're going to correct me if I get any of this wrong.
Sure.
Right? You promise? All right. Are the Rwandans extremely diffident, extremely conscious of being polite to authority figures? Yes. Sure. So even if you say you're going to correct me, that's not true.
Very true. Very true.
True.
All right. So it's called the Republic of Rwanda. It's in Central East Africa. The capital is Kigali, several degrees south of the equator. It's bordered by Uganda, Tanzania, Burundi, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The elevation is quite high. Two rainy seasons and two dry seasons every year. Population is mostly rural, about 11 million people.
Yes.
There's a large density. It's among the highest density of population in Africa.
Sure.
The largest religion is Christianity, and the language, Kinyarwanda. Is that the way it is?
Yes.
All right.
Kinyarwanda.
Maybe we will get you to say some things in Kinyarwanda later on in our program.
Yeah. Now, is that what was being spoken in that song that we had just heard earlier?
Yeah.
In the music?
Yes.
And what were they saying? What was that song about?
It's saying, don't worry, Rwanda. We are here, and we are there. We are concerned about you.
Okay, great.
The governmental situation, presidential system in Rwanda, and the colonization, we have Germany involved from 1884, Belgium from 1916, and Rwanda is independent as of what year?
Since 1962.
62. Okay, yeah. So you've just had your 50th anniversary of independence.
Yeah, recently.
Were there big celebrations?
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
The economy, mostly subsistence agriculture, exports, coffee, tea, and tourism is becoming more and more important.
Sure. Mm.
So later on we want to talk about what would we find if we go there as tourists. What would be the interesting things for us to see?
Yeah.
How do we get there and that kind of thing? Mm. Let's go on to the subject of Teach Rwanda, because that is our subject this evening.
Now first, Jan and Cindy, how did you become involved in your volunteer work at Rwanda?
Was noted, I was involved with a different organization. And through that organization, Jan began to work with their preschool education. There was a falling out of, personalities, but Jan had made a firm connection with one woman who had come here, Louise Batmariza is her name, and she had come here to study with Jan, learn more about the systems of early childhood education here in the United States. And when she went back to Rwanda, she wound up leaving her job, calling Jan in the middle of the night, I believe, and said, I want to start my own school. So Jan and I, at our usual meeting place, Panera Bread,
good for you,
got together and said, what can we do? And that's how this started.
And that was what year?
2012.
1 year ago, almost to the day.
Oh, all right. This is a happy anniversary to
yes,
you.
Yes,
it is exactly. February 1st is the date of our incorporation.
Now, according to our notes, James and the two of you have been working together for 2 years. So how does that fit into the one-year celebration?
Well, Teach Rwanda is 1 year old, but James was hired. I interviewed him nearly 2 years ago to be the teacher and headmaster at Chakabidi School. And so I have been in touch with him ever since then. And I recognized within 10 minutes that he was a really unique person. He was brilliant. He asked lots of questions and he was curious about everything. So we didn't lose that even when he left to go back to school. But Louisa was here just a year ago in November, and I had stayed in touch with her. So it was no surprise, really, when the phone rang. It was literally at 4 o'clock in the morning, saying, "I've quit my job. We've started a new school." And the rest is history.
Yeah. And how did you and James get together at the beginning? Was there an application process or phone calls or what?
Yeah, thank you so much. I got in touch with Jane as far as Cindy are concerned. Jane hired me as a teacher at Chakabiri School as far as the headmaster of the school.
In Rwanda?
In Rwanda. Mm-hmm. So from then, she was acting as a mentor. Everything which was taking place at the school, I would report to her, as far as also information being shared to Cindy as the president of the board.
All right. So, and are we saying that Teach Rwanda is based in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, our U.S. corporate offices are here. Okay. It's my house, actually. Right. But Teach Rwanda itself has in-country offices, and James is the country director in Gitarama, which is in Muhanga, in South Province, Rwanda.
James, in your capacity as director of the schools, do you get a chance to teach now, or are you just an administrator?
Right now, once I get time, I do teach, but most of the time I'm dealing with administration of the school, how the schools are operating, and having a several meetings with teachers to see what is taking place, what challenges are facing. But in touch, time to time, we are together.
And this typically happens when you get bumped up to administration, then you you lose the contact that you had with the children. And sometimes it's ironic that your brilliance comes through as a teacher, and then it turns out that you don't get to teach as much as you used to.
Yeah.
How many schools are we talking about?
Yeah, currently we are having two schools. One is based in Muhanga, which is southern province of Rwanda, and another is in the eastern province called Gwinghwav Primary School, preschool, sorry. So we are having, currently we are having two schools.
You have two schools, two schools. The children are all pre-kindergarten, aren't they?
Yes, sure. Ages 3 to 5. Mm. Yes. And we have three classrooms, 2 in Muhanga and 1 in Rinkwavu, which has been open a month now.
Mm. Wow. This from the ground up, Ray.
Yes.
We're working.
Very much, yes.
This is wonderful. We'd like to have you come back in 10 years and tell us about the progress that you've made.
We'll need more than an hour.
Celebrating progress.
We have so much to be all over the country. Sure. Yes.
Now, we want to let the listeners know, if you have any questions for Jan, James, or Cindy about Teach Rwanda, you could call us at 610-758-8810. Again, that's 610-758-8810.
Let's talk about what we would see if we arrived at the scene of one of these schools. First of all, Rwanda, as I understand it, is divided into 4 parts, in east, west, north, south. Mm. And you have a school in the south and in the east.
Yes, sir.
How long would it take you to drive from one school to the other?
Possibly 4 hours.
Right, so that's a pretty long trip. And when you make that trip, is it always on the roads? You're always driving?
You drive. One is you diverge a bit from Tamaka Road, and then you take the usual loads of Rwanda.
Okay. Mm. Just asking about buses, trains.
No. There are no trains. Motorbikes would be very common, and Rinkwavu School is on a dirt road on the way to Akagera National Park. Mm. So it's very rural.
So it's about a 4-hour drive for them.
Yes.
And if we were to go to one of the schools, what would we see? One of the schools has 2 classrooms. The other has 1 classroom, we know. Mm. 1-story building.
Yes.
How many children in each of the classes? How many teachers are you dealing with?
In each classroom, we have 20 children and 2 teachers, which is unusual for the country of Rwanda. Most classrooms, even early childhood classrooms, have as many as 60 children with 1 teacher. So that's a difference from for a Teach Rwanda school as opposed to a regular school that you would find in Rwanda. The school in Muhanga is actually in a house that's converted to a school. So there are several rooms, two classrooms that have been furnished by Teach Rwanda. We provide books, furnishings, tables, and lots of learning materials, as many as we can from the country of Rwanda itself, but we also have to take some things over from the U.S.
Right. Do you have computers available for children, for the teachers?
The staff have two computers there now, and that's all. Mm-hmm.
So as the internet gets more and more important, that will be something that you'll be looking at in the future, I imagine.
We use it with staff because they send me their learning plans each week, and I review them. And in Rinkwavu, that school has no electricity, no running water, and they use the local library, which has just opened. There are two libraries in the country, and this is one. They use the computers there to send us their learning plans. So computers for children are very, very, very far in the distance.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of correspondence between you and these schools, and you implement, it's called the Teach Rwanda's, International Teaching Practices. And what is that comprised of?
International best practices have developed over the last probably 50, 60 years as more research has become available about brain development. So we know that children from the ages of 3 to 5 are exceptionally strong learners. Their brains are extraordinarily active, and that is the best time for them to start learning in a group situation. So best practices include, as Cindy said, small class sizes. It includes hands-on learning materials like lots of children's books, which are basically not available in Rwanda. So we have a library within the school to provide children's books.
In what language are the stories told in the books?
They're all in English. There may be a couple of books that are folk tales in Rwanda, but they're not readily available. They're not beautifully illustrated children's literature. So the teachers often tell the story in Kinyarwanda as well. It's translated. It's read in English, and then the other teacher will tell it in Kinyarwanda.
Uh-huh. And if it were not for the other teacher interpreting from the English, the children would not understand?
That's correct.
How difficult is it to coordinate those standards between all of the schools? All in Africa, do you do it by email?
Everything virtually is done by email and traveling there. I've been to Rwanda 5 times now. And so we have worked very hard to help teachers learn. We now have 14 teachers who are prepared in best practices. And it's a way of interacting with children. It's the kinds of problems you ask children to solve. It's the learning materials that they figure out for themselves and doing things for themselves rather than having them memorize everything, which is the current standard practice in Rwanda.
We are ready for a break here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. We're chatting this evening with James Andrew Iyamuriemi from Rwanda. Mm. I'm trying, James.
Yeah.
And
very well.
Cindy Grieshaber and Janet Brown, who are co-founders of Teach Rwanda. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
There are many ways to support WDIY, but one really fun way is to attend our annual party. Join us Saturday, February the 2nd at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown for our Winter Blast. We'll have food, drinks, dancing, and live music from Giancarlo Sanchez, followed by the Lehigh Valley Soul Project. Proceeds will support our diverse programming, and this special event will help keep us on track financially. Tickets are just $45 for members, $60 for non-members, and can be purchased online at wdiy.org or by calling the station.
And we're back here on Lehigh Valley Discourse, talking this evening about Teach Rwanda, this African country where we have a connection from the Lehigh Valley. Jan, how about teacher education? What do you offer and how does that work?
It's very personalized teacher education. The first group of 5 teachers, including James, I worked with individually almost when we were at the other facility. And so it's coaching ongoing online, really. I observe in their classrooms, coach them as they teach on how they can improve what they're doing. That was the first level. Then we have a second wave of teachers who underwent some teacher education just this last October. It was 3 days, one day in the classroom, observing how our teachers were teaching. It's now a model school. Bright School is the name of that school, where Louisa teaches. So the new teachers observed for one day, talked with our teachers, talked with the children, played with the children, and were delighted to discover things like jigsaw puzzles, which they had never seen before. They had never seen magnifying glasses before, nor had they ever seen children's books before. So the next 2 days, then James interpreted everything. I talked for a while about some basic principles. Then we used the classrooms as a resource. We went out into the community to look for things that children could learn from, like gardens and rocks and even the sky. So we do a lot of hands-on. I try to work with these teachers the same way I expect them to teach children, which is exploring the world around them and figuring out how things work. So that was 3 days' worth of teacher education.
Right. It sounds a lot like Montessori to me. Would you say?
There are many similarities. The materials aren't quite as prescriptive. They're far more open-ended. And like Cindy said, we use Rwandan clay. We have Rwandan volcanic rock. We have Rwandan artisans who come with musical instruments. So there are a lot of things that are indigenous to Rwanda and very open-ended. They have a garden at the school, for example.
James, would you tell us a little bit about your own education as you were a boy growing up in Rwanda? And when, at what point did you begin your schooling, and how did that progress?
Actually, it's so different from what Teacher One is doing. Actually, depending on the historical background of our country, I grew up from Uganda, and I started my primary school at the age of 8. So, actually, I did not get a chance of joining the early childhood like this one. So now I'm learning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so then you progressed through high school.
Yes, I joined from primary to secondary schools and university. I'm now graduating this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you
so much. What's the graduation date?
Not yet scheduled, but I think soon.
All right. What month is it likely to be?
Possibly in March.
In March. Whoa! You're going back home in March.
Yes.
From here, and then right away you're going to be a graduate.
Maybe the date will be announced while I'm still here.
Well, just tell them that we said that they better wait for you to get back there to have that graduation.
Thank you.
Now, what are some of the differences between when you started primary school, you said at the age of 8, and what Teach Rwanda is doing, starting the children out very early? You know, the differences from when you started to when these children are starting.
Sure. It has been realized that from the age of 3 to 6, that's when the children have the chance of exploiting many things and having more interest of learning. So actually for the children of age 3 to 6, once they join school, they are likely not to drop out from the school. But once I look back to my fellow students whom I have been studying together, most of them are no longer in the track. So we expect that as far as these children have the chance of joining school while they are still young, they will not drop out the school. So that's, they grow up with the interest of loving studying and then eager to learn the next.
And are there many other organizations doing work like this in Rwanda?
Not that we know of. There are other organizations working with young children, some even earlier, from birth to age 3, but no one doing teacher education and setting up model schools that we know of.
How much money does it cost the family for the children to go to Teach Rwanda schools?
We try to charge a tuition of 1,000 Rwanda francs a month, but many of the people cannot afford that. And 1,000 Rwanda francs is about...
divided by 600, it's about $1.50
right.
a month.
Yes. I'm really bad at that conversion. I have the program
about
in my computer.
$1.50 a month.
Yes, okay. But even that is almost impossible for so many of the families. So we try very hard to raise funds here to keep the schools running.
Yeah, actually, many families are unable to afford even 1,000. So, but for us, Teach Rwanda do not bother about that. If you are not able to pay that 1,000, you are no longer going to benefit from being a part of the Teach Rwanda school. So we allow all of them to be studying, even though they don't have the capacity of paying that 1,000.
So what kind of families are a lot of these children coming from? If they're paying this tuition, what kind of families are they coming from?
Oh, yeah, they are poor families, actually poor. So that's why they are unable to pay 1,000.
Are they mostly farmers, the fathers?
They are farmers. But even the way of farming, they are unable even to satisfy themselves, you know, to the extent where they can have maybe surplus for sale so that they can afford the payment of...
Right. Yeah. They're doing subsistence farming.
Yes. The median level of education in Rwanda is grade 3. And many of the families of our children are not literate.
The fact that certain children would go to Teach Rwanda schools, does that mean that those families value education more than other families would? It takes a certain coordination within the family to get the child to school and to make sure that the child is learning and that kind of thing.
You're right, so much. But what we find is that the families value education. It is that the education at low cost is not available to them. So we have waiting lists for places in the class.
If a child were not in the Teach Rwanda, which is ages 3 to 5, would the child automatically in Rwanda, would the child automatically start in kindergarten or maybe later the way you did, James?
For now, they are not able to join. Maybe we started by 2012. So if by then the child is at the age of 6 or 7, automatically joins kindergarten.
Right. And so I'm asking about children who are not in your program. Mm-hmm. Typically, would they begin in kindergarten or first or second grade?
Typically, they start around age 7, mm-hmm. If they are able to go. There are, even though education is considered free in Rwanda, there are costs involved. Every student must wear a uniform. Every student must have shoes. Every student must have
haircuts.
Yes, haircuts, backpack, mm-hmm. and a lesson, something to write their lessons in. Mm. Right. So those can be cost prohibitive.
And we're talking about public schools.
That's correct.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Private schools are available, mm-hmm. much, much, much more expensive. Mm.
What have you learned in your year of operating Teach Rwanda? Are there things that you think that you're going to do differently in the future or ways that you would change that would make it a stronger program?
We are learning that we're flying by the seat of our pants. We would like to be more organized and, you know, have more... more regimentation, I would say, probably. Not so much regimented as more ability to go in, assess what an area needs so that when we go to that area, we will be able to know all the costs that are going to be associated with putting that school together.
You mentioned that part of your mission here in the U.S. and in the Lehigh Valley in particular is to do some fundraising for your program. So let's get our listeners a chance to get in touch with you. How would they do that best?
The best way is our website, teachrwanda.org, and you can donate directly through there. You can also, it has connections to all the board members, so you can directly email any of us. We're having a donor dinner on Saturday night, February 9th at 6:30 at Wesley Church, and anyone can just go to our website and get in contact with us to let us know they'd like to come so they can learn a lot more about it. We're working with lots of our families and friends and our own individual churches here, so there are, the support is building, and it's just been wonderful, the outpouring of generosity of people in the Lehigh Valley.
Excellent. This whole effort of Teach Rwanda came about because of a church connection at the very beginning, didn't it, Cindy?
Yes, it did.
And it was your going abroad, going to Rwanda with a church group?
Yes.
That began the whole thing?
Yes.
Did you meet James at that point?
I did not.
Not
no.
yet. Okay.
No. At that time, we were doing a medical and education, and our pastors were doing pastor education. So I met someone through that trip who then I worked with on the next nonprofit organization that I belonged to. And that's how James and Jan met. I didn't meet James until July of this past year.
Yeah. Ray, let's give our listeners that phone number again if they would like to join our conversation.
If you have any questions for Jan, James, or Cindy about Teach Rwanda, you could call us at 610-758-8810. We'd like to hear what you're thinking.
You mentioned, Cindy, you mentioned the organization, that you'd like to strengthen organization of the way you're doing things. So I have a question that's really a cultural question between the mentality that we have in the U.S. and the way, as I understand it, Africans have of the concept of time. And I'm specifically referring to being on time.
Mm.
Okay. That's very different, James, is it?
Mm.
How does it work to have children show up to class on time? Do they do it?
We are trying to emphasize the parents to do that. But there are still some who delays a bit. But actually, comparing to other schools, Teach Rwanda schools are trying.
Right. I had the same experience in Latin America with the whole idea of time.
Mm.
And it's very casual, and it's not to worry if I'm a half hour late to something, because the thing will still be there, and that people will, I won't lose friends over it, mm-hmm. and so on. And it is a more relaxed way of living. On the other hand, if you're running an organization, such as an airline, you need people to be on time.
I actually did hear a similar thing from one of my high school teachers who was from Belarus, who had said that when she was in high school, the bell would ring, almost like how we would have in high schools around here. The bell would ring, but rather than that being the sign that everyone should be in the class already, that was the sign that, okay, I should start heading to my class now.
Mm. Yes, yes, exactly. So can we go ahead a little bit as you dream about what you would like Teach Rwanda to be? Right now, two schools, a total of how many students? In the two
80
schools?
Plus about 130 students.
About 130.
Children.
Mm.
Yes.
Right. Are you looking to expand that? Would you like to be in the West and the North as well as the South and East?
Or? Oh, yes. We have a waiting list of many schools. Some of the teachers have already been through our teacher education first level of seminars. And it one includes a district school, which the sector that recommended to us, the government. So that is a government public school that will be our next school to open. And that's in Rugendabari. Then we have another school waiting to open in Shogwe, and several of their teachers have already gone through our first level of training. So we have two ready to open as soon as we have the funding to be able to hire carpenters to build furniture and to furnish the classrooms with learning materials.
Now, how long is this training program for the teachers?
It's so individualized. It looks like a three-day seminar will be for all teachers new to teach Rwanda. And from there on, it probably will be in two-day segments with lots of individualized classroom work with them.
We're trying very hard to have our teachers already have what they call senior six, which means that they've completed what is the equivalent of high school in our country. So they're educated, but they need the knowledge that Jan can bring in terms of the best practices. Many of our teachers are also university educated. Mm-hmm. So they do have experience with teaching. It's the idea that we're not teaching the way that they are used to teaching. So we have to tweak that for them.
What do you find some of the biggest differences are between the way that Teach Rwanda would like to operate and the way that they're used to teaching?
It's primarily rote, that's all. When you have a classroom with 60 children and one teacher, it's just the teacher says something and the children parrot it back.
Yeah.
And that's all they can do. Or they can play group games outdoors. But everything is teacher-led and the children follow like sheep.
So a lot of it has to do with the smaller class sizes, which like what you guys aim for.
Yes. That way teachers can talk individually with children. Children can write their own stories. Teachers can write that down. Literacy is our primary objective here. But we're also doing lots of science learning. Children are learning social skills, so they're learning how to become friends and how to work with each other, you know, playing with Legos together, for example. So there are a variety of ways that children learn together that they would not do if they were in a group of 60 being herded around by one teacher.
And the teaching, if we were to observe a class, we would be hearing only Kinyarwanda. Is that right?
You would also hear English.
And also English.
Yes. Sure.
I was going to ask at what age the Rwandan child usually starts a foreign language.
A foreign language?
When did you start English?
Possibly, unless teach Rwanda schools and some private nursery schools, mostly in the towns. Otherwise, they do start hearing English at the age of 7 when they join primary schools.
English is the second official language of the country.
Uh-huh. Mm. Well, they're doing better than we're doing in lots of our schools if they're starting at age 7.
Mm. Yes.
Right.
That's true.
The sooner you get them, the better they get at these languages.
Exactly.
This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we're chatting this evening. I'm John Pierce, along with Ray Schwab. We're chatting with James Andrew Iyamuremye from Rwanda.
It is getting better, John, as the show progresses.
There you go. We're into the second half hour. It gets better. Cindy Grieshaber and Janet Brown, both from the Lehigh Valley and co-founders of Teach Rwanda Schools. We'll be back now in 60 seconds.
Hey, it's us, Click and Clack from Car Talk. Is your car so environmentally incorrect that it creates its own ecosystem?
Donated through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
This station gets the proceeds and you get a tax break.
To find out more, call 866-789-8627.
Car Talk airs Friday night at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website at wdiy.org.
Listening to some very pretty Rwandan music, And the reason is that we are talking about early childhood education in Rwanda here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. The music, Ray, reminds me of two programs that we have right here on WDIY. World Rhythms on Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. and World Bop Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. Lots of variety on Jan Brown's favorite radio station, WDIY. Jan, would you sign that statement?
I certainly would. It's Ooh. In my car programmed there and in every one of my computers. I listen online all the time.
She's exactly the kind of guest we love, James.
Now, we want to remind the listeners, now we're in our last break, but it's not too late to give us a call if you have any questions about Teach Rwanda at 610-758-8810.
So getting back to Teach Rwanda, which is the program that Jan and Cindy have started for 3 to 5 year olds in the country of Rwanda, what do you see as the biggest challenges ahead?
At the moment, it's meeting the needs of as many people who want to become Teach Rwanda schools, because we have such a long waiting list in different parts of the country. Then secondly is sustaining all of the high-quality practices that they have learned by continuously supervising and mentoring those teachers to keep it all going. And probably the dream that we had at the beginning was that these schools would be self-sustaining. First we said 5 years, and maybe it's 10 years, and we're thinking now it's probably not likely ever to happen, given that we serve pretty much the same population that Head Start in this country serves, which is low-income children. So we're looking ahead at the long-term need for financial stability for the organization, and that's probably our biggest challenge of all, is to make sure we can keep all these employees and all these families well-served.
How many times human problems or situations come back to money?
So true.
Cindy, what about the government's attitude about early childhood education? What's happening there?
Well, recently, the government of Rwanda and the Ministry of Education has mandated that there should be a preschool in every district in the country of Rwanda. Unfortunately, they have not provided any funding for those preschools. So that's one of the reasons why the district in Muhanga has approached us for assistance to help them to provide for the school that is there. They have a brand new building. They had money to build a school, but they don't have money to run the school or to equip it.
Did the money to build a school come from the government?
Yes.
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 So the government is mandating early childhood education. Can you lobby with the government for funding? Is that part of your mission?
It is part of our mission. Early on in our work, we are trying to work with both USAID in the country of Rwanda and Save the Children and UNICEF. We already have worked and cooperated on a project called Rwanda Reads, which is a countrywide literacy program for adults and children. They're very aware of the need for improved literacy in the whole country. The UNICEF persons that I've talked to are trying very hard to get the government to recognize that not funding these programs means that they're not going to go anywhere. So we're in a tricky situation. We don't have an NGO status yet in Rwanda. We need that in order to be able to present ourselves to the government. Now, we have worked with the district representatives, and they're very happy to talk to us. But for us to go further into what we need to do, we need to have NGO status.
Is that... are there obstacles presented that are important for you to get that?
Mostly time. Mm-hmm. We're in the very, very final stages of filing our own 501c3 1023 in the United States. We've been working with a pro bono lawyer in Washington, D.C. to help us with that. And we're to the point where we have just one more thing we have to put on our form to be able to file that.
Taking lots of your energy, huh, yeah. for this between the governments of the U.S. and also of Rwanda to get support for your activities.
But we continue because we know that the government supports what we do, but within the country of Rwanda, you must go through government channels.
Sure. And after all, you're celebrating 1 year of existence with Teach Rwanda. You're very young.
We're very young.
We have
three classrooms, and we're so excited.
Yes. That's terrific. I wish that the listeners could see the smile on James's face. It's wonderful. Let's turn to a more sober subject, and that is the genocide that was seen in Rwanda about 20 years ago. How is early childhood education related to that very, very sad chapter?
Yeah, thank you so much. In actual sense, what Teach Rwanda is doing, we are educating young children and, of course, building future generation. So I do hope that if this one has been done earlier, would have not come across genocide. So Teach Rwanda schools teaches younger children how to love each other, as well as also to be able to read and reveal the reality. So I do think that if this one has been done earlier, genocide would not have been happened in Rwanda. So actually, we are building a future generation of Rwanda where genocide never again.
Last October, when I was there, I learned something that really struck me. And we also heard the president's wife talking about the need for literacy in the country. But working with these teachers, we were talking about children's books, and they were not familiar with the concept of nonfiction or fiction. They assumed that everything that was spoken or read was true, and were totally unaware that some things could be made-up stories. So James and I have talked about how if people in this country had been part of a learning experience where they could think critically and deeply and even be able to read enough to check out facts, that probably the genocide would have been less likely to have happened. But they believed each other when they were told that some people were cockroaches.
Wow. Completely foreign to our experiences, huh? We've asked you for information of how people could get in touch with you in order to support Teach Rwanda. Let's do that again. What's the best way that people could help from the Lehigh Valley? Is it through money?
Money, yes. Yes, we need support. We need, we're looking for people who are willing to go to Rwanda in some capacity. We have someone, Jan and James visited someone from the Shippensburg University just on his way back from the airport, who is willing to go to Rwanda to work with art education for the children. So we need some people that are specific in their skills. But yes, mostly we need funding. We need funding to be able to sustain our support for these schools.
Right. Have you worked out, student by student, how much money it would cost to put one child through a year of Teach Rwanda? It would be kind of interesting for our listeners to know. Sometimes organizations do that. You know, if you pay a certain amount of money, that would provide a certain number of meals or education.
It would be about $120. It's about $10 per student per month.
All right. That's a good concrete figure.
Mm-hmm. And now going into your second year, what kind of goals do you have on tap? Where do you want Teach Rwanda to be a year from today?
We hope that we have a better system set up, as Cindy said, to do needs assessment so that when we go into a program, We know a little better what might be expected. We've just are in the process of building a toilet at a school. We've learned a lot about latrine development in Rwanda, and that's something we had not necessarily expected that we would need to help accomplish. So we're hoping to develop a system that's better on needs assessment. We're hoping to refine the system that we have for continuing education with all of the teachers. And we're hoping that community development will be a real key component of everything we do so that the parents understand why early childhood education is important and how they can be involved in their children's schools.
I'd like to read from a very attractive brochure, Ray, that they have for Teach Rwanda, mentioning the three areas in which children learn every day. The first is construction and creativity, math, social studies, free play, arts, traditional crafts, music, Rwandan culture, and journals. Journals from ages 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yes. Huh? Children write their own stories, draw their own pictures. They dictate some things that they're thinking, and an adult will write them down. But journals are a very common practice in early childhood education.
The second area is investigation outdoors, science, Rwandan environment, active play, and nature. What do we mean by Rwandan environment?
Yeah, Rwandan environment, the children see what is surrounds their schools, even within in the compound where they are playing from.
So they can go outdoors.
Yes.
And explore with the teacher or on their own?
Yes, with the teacher.
And they're going to walk a certain distance that they can easily walk and come back to class.
Yeah, visiting the neighbors, seeing what they grow, see what everything around.
You go visiting neighbors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right while they're in school.
Yeah.
Never heard of such a concept.
Yeah, they are running also, visiting. So
we've had them visiting neighbors that we're building with bricks, the mud bricks, and how to make the mud bricks, which is a very important part of Rwandan life.
Mm. Interesting. The children at the schools, about half boys, half girls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So it's co-ed education.
Oh, yes.
At an early age. Mm-hmm. And the girls usually sit there and are pretty quiet and follow directions, and the boys are running around.
So funny. So funny.
The children there are really very different. We don't see nearly the amount of aggression there. They're quite willing to share. They are very polite. They are kind. They're really very different children than what we find here.
Who wouldn't want to go and teach there?
They're delightful.
That's right.
But we do find that for the first few days, they're very shy. Mm. They sometimes cry.
Especially when we walk in.
It takes them a while to warm up to the classroom, to the experience. Yeah. So that's similar to what happens here.
Yeah. And do the families walk the children to school every day? And so the families are all living within walking distance.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm. There's no other way to transport within the villages.
Right. Mm. And what's the starting time and ending time each day for the children?
The class starts at 8 and ends 11 in the morning session. For the evening, it starts 2 and ends 4:30.
And so are the same teachers, sort of like our kindergarten teachers, they're doing a morning session and an afternoon session?
Sure, yes. The same thing.
And the third area in the brochure says literacy and imagination, storytelling, read and write books, poems, stories, journals, pretend play in Kinyarwanda, and English. Mm.
Yes.
So there's where you get some language in there.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that we were very surprised to find out is that there are so few books written in Kinyarwanda. And part of the Rwanda Reads program, there was a day of, there was a launch and tents and booths and different publishers. It was so much of the, just like a primary primer type of an education. Very few books in Kinyarwanda, more books in English, but very much the old kind of reader type book. We are working on trying to get more children's literature published in Kinyarwanda. Maybe it would be a dream for us to be able to have a book where there were face-to-face pages, one in Kinyarwanda, one in English.
And one of our teachers has a dream of writing children's books about her childhood in Rwanda.
Wonderful. When you get books published in Kinyarwanda, where are they published? Is it in the country? Is it abroad or where?
It's in a country. Of course, we are now having publishers in Rwanda.
In the capital?
Yeah.
Mostly?
Sure.
Now, we're coming towards the end of the show, and one thing I'm curious about is, what is something that each of you learned in being involved with Teach Rwanda this past year? What's something that you've learned through that experience?
I've learned that everything you've done for your whole previous life somehow comes back in and fits in with what you need to know and be able to do and understand. So the globe that I got when I was in probably seventh grade has led me to Africa as the last continent, where I have learned so much from these wonderful people.
So what I have learned is that our childhood is very important as far as our country is concerned. And if this one has, we had a chance of having this our childhood like 20 years or 21 years ago, we would not have faced genocide. So actually, I appreciate what the teacher one is doing.
For me, it's an ongoing thing that I'm learning and continue to learn and continue to be struck by, is the warmth, the love, the people of Rwanda are so beautiful, so kind, and it's just such a pleasure to work with them.
It's a great connection, the Lehigh Valley and Rwanda,
and
one that I didn't know anything about before today. So, James, thank you for coming and educating us.
You are most welcome, and we invite you to come in Rwanda.
I would love to. Let's
and one last time, if any listeners want to find out any more information about Teach Rwanda, where can they go to find that?
TeachRwanda.org.
It's that easy. Thank you very much, James Andrew Iyamuremye from Rwanda, and Cindy Grieshaber.
That's right.
And Jan Brown from the Lehigh Valley. Thanks so much for coming and chatting with us on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Thank you so much for having us.
And remember to be gentle with your neighbor.